Excuse me. Thank you for that kind introduction, Brother Pastor. I'm indeed happy to be here with you this evening. This is another home for me, and I feel at home. The reason I feel at home is because I have so many brothers and sisters here, and each one of you is very dear to me. And I thank God for His wonderful love in giving me those of you whom He has given. And I'm glad to welcome another today. I noticed this song was striking. More like the Master. And that's why we're here tonight, that we might become more like our Master. And my prayer is and has been that I might be able to bring to you, I better say us, because I need it as much as anyone, to be reminded of the responsibility which God has placed upon us when we consented to be taken down into the waters of baptism and conducted into the kingdom of Jesus Christ. I well remember that day when I went. It almost frightens me when I think about how long ago it's been, but it wasn't very long ago. 1921, January the 2nd, was just yesterday. Some of us may think, oh, that's a long time ago, but no, really, it isn't. And I'm very glad of what it has brought to me. It has brought you. And I rejoice in the brothers and sisters that I have in the Church of Christ. That brings a subject to mind that I'm sure we've all spent time thinking of and meditating upon and taking action either for or against. And that is, what would God expect, or what does God expect of you and me, inasmuch as we have become members of His kingdom? And I recall that he made a statement which many people object to. And that is, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. And immediately our enemy comes along and whispers in our ears and says, you can't do it. It's impossible. If it was impossible, Christ wouldn't have required it of you and me. Perfection. And that's what we need. The Lord has told us, I didn't know here what I'm standing on, Steve. I felt a little ridge under my foot, and I thought, what do I have here? Excuse me. What does God expect of you and me? I wrote down a few notes early this morning as I happened to think about them. If I refer to them, please excuse me. But they occurred to me, and I thought maybe it might be encouraging to you to give some thought to them. I thought and hoped that maybe it was the inspiration of our Heavenly Father of what I might be guided in my remarks by. And as I lay there upon my pillow early this morning, I thought of the amazing events that have occurred throughout our lives that have brought us together here today. Now I look out over this congregation and I see some whom I have known for a long time. I remember when I was a teenager in high school, I had a neighbor. This neighbor was a young lady. And I watched this young lady take care of her little sister. And I admired the way she did in all the care that she gave to that child. And I never dreamed, it never entered my mind that one day her son would be associated with me in the Church of Christ. Some of you may not know who I'm talking about. I'm talking about my brother Frank. Oh, the wonders of God. The love that he has for his children, and how much do we appreciate it. The more we appreciate it, my brother and my sister, the more it will grow. And oh, how we need it today. I think back over the events that I've known of, the church has gone through, and I think about my grandfather, George P. Frisbee, who led the group across the ice out here in 1867 as they returned from Bloomington, Illinois. And I think about what led him into what he did. It might surprise you to know that he went to California in the gold rush. Now, I don't mean that he went in 1848, because the people were going to California for that purpose for quite a number of years after it was discovered. But you know, he didn't make a fortune. He came back home. And oh, am I glad that he didn't make a fortune and stay out there and let gold be important to his life. He returned back home, broke, and became interested in the gospel of Christ as it was restored, and came to Missouri with the other 11 families that came at that time. And when they got here, they were told, scatter out and let the wind blow between you, for the time of the gathering is not for many days. And you know, they obeyed that. They scattered. 12 families. And today there are only 2 families. Well, it was 13 actually, because there were 12 of them came, and Brother Granville Hedrick's family didn't come till later. So that was 13 altogether. And there were probably more than that, actually. But they scattered. And today, in this congregation, there's only representatives of 2 of those families in the church. Why? Why? This gospel is true, and it's going to accomplish the purpose for which God placed it here. My brother and my sister, the big question is, where are you and I going to end up? My prayer to our Heavenly Father is that every last one of us, and a whole lot more, will be a part of it. Too many have been lost. My grandfather had a great family, a big family, a numerous family, and they scattered. And they're lost in the churches of the world. Very, very few of them are in the Church of Christ. That hurts. That hurts. It hurts me to realize that none of my children, and of course, my children are made up mostly of my grandchildren. Not the church. Hurts. We've got decisions to make every day. And those decisions determine where you and I finally find our resting place. Brothers and sisters, there is so much depending upon you and me and the decisions which we make that will help to determine where other people end up as well. We are instructors to not only our children, we are instructors to those round about us who see us and who know of us. I often think of the great responsibility that rests upon you and me as other people look upon us and hear what we say and see what we do and notice our reaction to this, that, and the other thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. We're watched far more than we have any idea of. Responsibility upon you and me are heavy. I don't know that I necessarily want to use any of these notes that I made, but I thought I'd better kind of look around and see if there are some things that I wrote down that I might want to refer to, so if you'll pardon me a moment. How much time do we take? Whether it's a number of times or whether it's just an amount of time to reflect upon the things which we have done and the effect of those things upon those who watch us. You know, when I was a boy, growing up, and I'm sorry I don't have a lot of boys and girls this afternoon to talk to, but you who have been boys and girls will appreciate it just the same, I'm sure. I had no idea that I was going to turn out to be a school teacher. I don't know whether my brother over here on my right had any idea he was going to turn out to be a school teacher either. He's shaking his head, no, he didn't. But I'm sure that he feels as I. I'm glad it happened, right? I'm glad it happened. Because I found out one day that I'd had more good influence upon a lot of boys and girls who are today elderly men and women. And I have them come and thank me. It's an humbling thought, an humbling experience. But you know, not only boys and girls, but the people you and I contact constantly. Oh, I don't mean that we have to be with them constantly. But we're constantly contacting and affecting those people whom we meet every day. And we're affecting them either for good or for evil. May it never be said of us that our influence on them was anything else than good. Why? Why, excuse me. Why did we do this? Why did we do that? Why did we do something else? Sometimes it was done on the spur of the moment. Sometimes it was done after great consideration. but it was done. And it had an effect upon somebody. We probably didn't realize the effect it had, but it had it. Brothers and sisters, we have a responsibility before our Heavenly Father in everything we do, every word we speak, every thought that we think, because that thought directs our actions. And I know that this isn't new. I'm not telling you anything new. All I'm doing is reminding us. And I'm reminding Nicholas just as much as I'm reminding any other person. Because I have to watch him. I have to be careful about him. I have to make him walk the line. Don't you have to do the same about yourself? Sure you do. We've got an enemy who is going to get our attention, take our attention off that which it ought to be on, and get it on something else every minute of the day if we let him. That's his job. And he never sleeps. Well, sure, you knew that. I knew that. We have to remind ourselves constantly. And I oftentimes think of the desires of our fathers for their children, as I think about the hopes that I have for my children. And I think about Grandpa again. He wanted to see Zion redeemed. He wanted to see her children gathered together. He labored diligently from the time he came into the church until he drew his last breath. Oftentimes disappointed because things that he'd hoped for didn't get established. His children all died with the same disappointment. And most of his grandchildren are all gone. Brothers and sisters, the end is closing in on us. We've got a lot of work to do, and we can't do it alone, but we can do it with God's help. But we've got to unite our efforts. We've got to assist one another. We've got to help each other. You know, everything that you do affects me. And had you ever thought of that? Everything you do affects me. I want my actions, my words and my thoughts to be uplifting to you, my brothers and my sisters, because I need your help very, very, very badly. Greatly. I better put it that way. Not badly, but greatly. I need your help. We need each other's help. You know, I remember a statement, and I believe that we can find it. If you got your Bible and you want to follow me, why, feel free to do that. I want to look back in the book of Revelation. And I want to go to the 18th chapter. And well, let's start the beginning of it. I didn't have the beginning of it in my mind, but let's start the beginning and run down through here just a little bit. And after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lighted with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage for every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. Now I heard a man who referred to himself as a minister. Say, the Lord doesn't punish us. The Lord doesn't punish us. Well, if he didn't punish us, I wonder where we'd be. Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Are we in that time? I think so. I don't think there's any question. Are we coming out of the world? Well, to an extent. But is there anything we should be doing we're not? Are we really trying to help each other get closer to God? Oh yeah, we come to church. Twice a week, don't we? Three times a week. Once in the morning, once in the afternoon, and on Sunday, and once on Wednesday night. Is that enough? Is that enough help? I remember the Lord saying, let's see, if I can quote it just right. How oft would I have gathered you as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, but you would not. Some time ago, I don't know, maybe it was last summer, I went out to, you call it the land, I call it the farm. Doesn't make any difference what. Where's several of my brothers and sisters, including my daughter, live. And I saw somebody had some chickens. And I hadn't seen a flock of chickens in a long time. And I began to think about when I was a boy and my mother raised chickens. She had an old hen setting almost all summer. Either one or another. And it was a delight for me to see those little tiny fellows break out of the eggshells and begin to huddle together, and mother would make a funny little noise, and they'd all gather right in real fast, right underneath, and they were protected. They weren't scattered all over the chicken yard, but they were close to Mama. And when she saw danger, she really got riled up. My mother said, be careful of a setting hen because you can get flogged. And I found it out. And that's what the Lord was talking about. How oft would I have gathered you as a hen gathers her chickens in the chicken? No, not in the chicken yard. Under her wings, where they had protection from all enemies. Brothers and sisters, are we doing enough? Are we doing enough to follow that instruction? I think we need to think about it. I don't know whether you give any attention to what's going on in the world, or do we feel like I remember of people feeling, oh, well, that's clear off there. It's not going to affect me. As long as we do what the Lord tells us to, the Lord will take care of us. The Lord will take care of us as long as we do what He tells us to do. But are we doing what He tells us to do? Are we gathering in? So when this catastrophe, which is just ahead of us, hits, we're going to be able to hold together. I'm worried about it. The conditions that are coming together in the world have been predicted right here. It's there. So it shouldn't take us by surprise. And I don't want to see my brothers and my sisters hurt by lack of following the instructions and the advice of our Heavenly Father. He'll take care of us if we obey. But if we don't obey, we have no promise. While I'm at it, I don't think I need to be concerned with those present, but I think I ought to refer to one thing that happens to be a part of my responsibility to my brothers and sisters in the church, and that is to remind us. And I don't know whether this shoe fits anybody here or not. You've heard of, if the shoe fits, wear it. If the shoe doesn't fit, don't wear it. So if the shoe doesn't fit, don't be worried. If it fits, well, then that's another matter. But I want to encourage all of us to do what the Lord has told us to do. And I'm assuming that everybody here does. But in case there's anybody that has let it slip, why, let me call your attention to it. The Lord says, bring all your tithes and offerings into the storehouse. And I'm hoping we all do. If we don't, let me urge you to do it. And I'll tell you why. I've made it a habit. And the Lord says, if you do, I'll pour you out a blessing. There will not be room enough to receive it. Now, I don't mean by that that the Lord has made me a millionaire. I didn't win the whatever it is that they pass out every once in a while that we hear about. Who is it that comes around and knocks on your door and say, you've won the $1 million, whatever it is. I didn't happen to be one of those people, and I'm not interested. There's more than one way of having the blessings of God poured out upon us. The Lord keeps His promise. Believe me. He will keep His promise. So if this happens to be something that somebody needs to take note of, I urge you to give it a try, because the Lord certainly has been wonderful to me, in spite of the fact that my wife is just up on top of the hill and has been for 14 months. Oh, that's hard. It's hard. Every night, when I tell her goodnight, I have to go home and leave her there in somebody else's care. It hurts. But even at that, the Lord has blessed us amazingly. It's just unbelievable. And she's getting good care. Wonderful care. And I am so thrilled that there is a facility where I can be sure that she's getting the kind of care that she needs 24 hours a day. I hope that I have said something that is encouraging, that will help us in the days that are before us. Because, brothers and sisters, I am fearful that this nation of ours is very close to that time that the Lord told us is going to suffer because of sin, because of rebellion. Let us be prepared for that time. Let us live close to the Lord. Let us live close to one another, that we might be able to come through the trials, the problems that our nation is facing today. And I would also like to remind us that the coming of Christ is very near. We need to each one ask ourselves, am I ready? Do I have on the wedding garment? Do I have everything done that I should have done? If not, let us not waste time, because it'll be a sad day if we're not ready for that great event. Thank you very much. Sorry.